why Connie not taking anybody's guff? She said, Connie, she's like, Kate got shot 2 times. It ain't gonna be a third on my watch. Over at B&B, I actually like them going back to the business of it with them, you know, with the designs and stuff. I mean, that's what the show is centered about. I'm tired of hearing about Hope and not getting her cat scratched, so to speak.
With Larry Flick on SiriusXM OutQ 108.
McFadden and Whitehead, ain't no stopping us now. It's just about 9 minutes past the hour. I'm Larry Flick, and this is your morning jolt on SiriusXM OutQ 108. It's old school Friday. Great songs from the 70s all morning long. And Jillian Bowe now knows what a Suzy Q is. Congratulations, darling.
You're the one who was all hung up on that thing. I mean,
Wait.
We
have Jamie Giddens and Luke Kerr, also from Daytime Confidential and PopConfidential.com with us. They're on the line from various points around the world. Can you believe this chick doesn't know what a snack food is?
Yes, I do.
Jamie, come on now. Jamie.
Hey, you know, I'm doing low carb, so I can't even talk about that stuff right now.
You know
it'll have me. You'll trigger some kind of meltdown, and I'll be up at the Kroger, like, crawling around on the floor.
Jamie,
you know,
Jamie,
white
Jamie.
Powder all around my mouth.
Jamie. Chocolate eclair.
Okay, see, get me behind me, Satan. I rebuke you.
Blackout cake.
In the name of X.
Hot cross cinnamon buns.
Shut up. I've been thinking about those.
See, I'm on
especially this time of the year, right?
Yes.
See, ooh. I've been doing it for about 10 days now, Larry. Like, if you'd have got me on day 2, that would have been an excuse. It would have been like, well, he talked about them, so, I mean, that's the reason that I have to go get them.
Strawberry shortcake.
10 days in, I'm strong.
Strawberry shortcake.
You want me to sing like Jay Hood? Freedom is mine! And I'm feeling good.
Oh, God.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the Weight Watchers went her career because all she does is talk about how skinny
eating.
She is.
Oh, my
sick
God.
Of her.
Anyway, yes. So Jillian Bowe, Jamie Gins, and the conspicuously silent Luke Kerr are folks from one of my favorite websites, daytimeconfidential.com, and my other favorite website, popconfidential.com. They're both powered by zaptoit.com, and they have podcasts that you must download. It is always really good. And the most recent podcast, very juicy, because and we will get to why it was so juicy in a moment. But we're going to talk this hour. They're going to be with us for the rest of the morning, y'all. And we're going to talk this hour about the latest machinations in the world of daytime. And I want to find out from you guys if there's any news. This is usually when the networks make their big decisions about what shows are going forward. Is there any news on the fate of General Hospital, Jamie?
Well, there's no news at this point. Some people are saying it could come today. That's, you know, a peer of mine said that he'd been hearing that it could come today. I've heard it could be as late as May. You know, because ABC, I mean, nothing has really changed at the ivory tower of the Mouse House. They still want to get rid of this soap. So, you know, from what I'm hearing, they might even give the revolution another month to do better. But, I mean, it's not happening. The latest ratings report came in, and it's still at, like, only a little over 1 million people are watching the show, which is disastrous for any daytime television show. And it's 60% off of One Life to Live's numbers a year ago in women 18 to 49, which you guys know is the key demo for women in daytime. But the scary thing is, this is a network that has been known to cancel 2 daytime shows at once. So, I mean, General Hospital isn't totally safe if the revolution is canceled, because, I mean, if you remember, they canceled All My Children and One Life to Live at the same time and just staggered their end dates. You know, AMC went off in September, and then One Life went off that, you know, last January. So there's both of these shows are having major ratings woes. A lot of people in the industry feel that, well, you know, the whole lineup has been destroyed. Their lead-in is, you know, they went from having a lead-in that was, you know, being watched by 2.4 million people to 1 million. So that doesn't, and, you know, and the back end, we always hear about the lead-in, but there was probably many, many people over the past 25 years who went ahead and tuned into ABC going, well, I got to go ahead and switch the channel to get ready for Oprah. So there's no, you know, their back end is gone, their lead-in is gone, Reed is gone at the top of the lineup. And so, I mean, GH is suffering because of the other decisions made on this lineup. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would hope someone at ABC would say, you know, we really fucked up last time by getting rid of two soaps the same year that Regis and Oprah went off the air. So let's try to keep some stability on the lineup. But, you know, I've given up trying to predict. It's like when I hear a word, that's when I go, okay. Yeah. I've given up trying to predict because common sense doesn't always prevail.
No, it doesn't. How are the ratings for The Chew? I'm hearing that the ratings for The Chew have spiked upward a little bit. Is that true?
The last 3 weeks they've been down. You know, they were basically matching and, you know, catching up with AMC. Now, they've kind of started trending downward. But, you know, The View has had a lot of reruns lately with Sherry Shepherd being out there on Dancing with the Stars. So they've had, you know, The View has been in reruns, and, you know, the whole lineup has basically been down. But The Chew fell, you know, now they're about, you know, they're double digits in demos down from All My Children's numbers. It's not nearly the horror story that The Revolution is, but, you know, I think at last glance they were like 25% off of All My Children's demos. But again, and you know, ABC will scream this from the rafters, since All My Children was, you know, 40% more expensive and running over budget for, you know, the last couple of years of its lifetime, I'm sure they still consider The Chew a win because it's come that close to matching All My Children's numbers, and it's, you know, it costs nothing to make that show,
right,
in terms of daytime money. But, you know, The Revolution, though, there's no way they can justify it. I mean, because 60% off of their numbers in women 18 to 49, you know, you can't. You still have to be able to sell the show. It doesn't matter if it's cheaper to produce. You know, you got to make money off of advertising, and you can't take that into upfront. You can't take a show into upfront that's getting 60% off the show that it replaced. And if you remember when Brian Franz was trying to justify killing All My Children and One Life to Live, he basically gave a lot of interviews saying that he couldn't get any advertising buys for the soaps anymore because of their low demos. So, in theory, if you couldn't get an advertising buy for One Life to Live among 18 to 49 when it was 60% better than what you're getting now, then no one on Madison Avenue is wanting to buy time for The Revolution.
Right, right. That's Jamie Giddens joining us. He's down in Atlanta. We have Jillian Bowe here in New York City, and we have Luke Kerr, whom we're going to talk to in a moment. He's in Nebraska, and they collectively, along with Melody Akles and Regan Salura and many other folks, work on DaytimeConfidential.com and PopConfidential.com, two amazing websites powered by ZapTour.com. Now, I have to say, and this is something that Luke and I have talked about, well, I've kind of shared with Luke in emails, that I kind of feel like it's a shame that it's playing out as it is, to remove my loyalty to soaps. And, mm-hmm. and of all the people in the room, including our friend Kathy, I've been watching soaps the longest because I think I'm the oldest, and I've been watching since I was 13. I'm 48 years old, so I have a great loyalty to these shows. But just as an objective from a journalistic eye, watching The Chew and The Revolution's actually a solid show, whereas The Chew is still a mess almost a year down the line. Mm-hmm. It's almost a shame that they didn't debut The Revolution first, because it's actually, if you watch it without prejudice, it's a decent show that just has the misfortune of coming on the air as it has, when it has. And I almost wish that they would blend the two shows into one, and it would be actually a very powerful show, because if you watch it, it's a very proactive, positive. They're not telling you that you're fat and ugly. They're actually telling you, baby, your life can be better. And right. so I think it's a shame. I actually do think it's a shame. You know, you have to sometimes understand it. And this is the year 2012. And I will tell you reasons why I think, you know, we're in the state we are in a moment. But I think it's a shame. And I think it would be really wise if they saved General Hospital and just merged elements of the Revolution into the CHU and have a big powerhouse show. Because some of what works on the CHU, on the CHU could do well with being blended into the Revolution. Luke, what do you think about all this?
Well, as I told you in the email, I disagree. I think the Revolution looks like it's a public access show that's telling you you're too fat. And that's just
but
you're watching.
But now I'm going to interrupt you, because when I've listened to your podcasts, no one has actually, at least one of the last podcasts, none of you have actually said you watched the show.
Have
any of you watched the show? Because there was one time, because I have to say this. There was a point where you all said, I'm not watching the show. It's negative. And I'm thinking, y'all are making yourselves look bad because it's not a negative show. And you have to actually, in order to decree a point of view, you should actually be educated. So I want to make sure you've all watched the show before you denounce the show.
I had the unfortunate luck of having to watch it because my car had to go into the shop for a recall, and I was stuck there for 2 hours, and that was the only thing on the freaking thing for at least one of them. So, no, having watched it, I have not been impressed with it at all.
All right, fair enough. But again, I'm just remembering two podcasts ago, there was a collective like, I ain't watching that show. I never watched that show. That show is negative and it sucks. And I'm thinking, y'all are making yourselves look silly because you haven't seen the show.
I've actually watched
I watched it. I watched it when they
Well, y'all must have watched it after that podcast because I listen to the podcast closer than most.
When,
and I'm thinking,
well, when we say that we're not watching it, we're making a collective choice not to support a show that has taken the place of a daytime soap. Yeah, I've watched it in terms to make a conscious effort of what it was. But, I mean, the viewers have spoken. I mean, I get that you're saying you feel that it's a positive thing, but 1.3 million people are only watching this show, so they fucked up.
I'm not saying that they haven't. I'm saying what's unfortunate is that the show, y'all, be clear, and make sure your Psycho fans who go to the website are also listening. Be clear. I think it's unfortunate that the show has come in when it has. If this type of show isn't your thing, then fair enough, but, you know...
Right, and people have 40, like, you know, 40. People have, at this point, 100 cable channels that tell them how to dress, how to lose weight.
And
I mean,
isn't that what OWN is?
Yeah, and that's failing for Oprah. Why was that necessary for daytime television? And, I mean, it speaks to the fact that audiences will trick you every time. Because I will give you this. Having, you know, watched enough of both of them to judge, the Revolution is a better hour of television than the CHU. I mean, the CHU is ridiculous. I mean, with that woman dancing and doing the Running Man while she's making chili, the fact that America has basically said, well, this is good enough for 2 million of us to watch.
Well, and that's fair enough. But I have to now play a devil's advocate here and ask you a question. Is the daytime industry the soap industry? Because let's face it, we're talking, there's daytime TV and then there's soap. And really, you know, you guys cover the soap industry more incisively than you cover the daytime industry. Isn't the soap industry committing suicide? Because I listened to 15 minutes of you ranting about how Young and the Restless is a piece of shit. And if soaps want to stay on the air, then they need to actually up their game. You know, Days of Our Lives just fired the person who was supposed to reboot the show. So,
they're definitely.
You know, Garen Wolf was put in charge of General Hospital for long enough to kill the show. So, are soaps systematically killing themselves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, why are you trying to save someone who doesn't want to stay alive?
Well, they are.
Eventually, Popo has to die.
I get what you're saying.
It might be dying, Larry, but we're a pro-soap site, and YNR still gets over 4 million viewers. There's nothing that they have replaced a soap with on daytime television that is ever going to get those
But
numbers.
My point so is, but my, no, 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 no. My point is, please everyone listen. My point is the industry killing itself? Not are you trying to save it? Because clearly you're trying to save it. Your passion speaks volumes, and you're here because I share that passion. But are we trying to keep Papo alive when Papo is saying, I'm done?
No, I don't think that's what we're doing. And let me say this, as much as I bitch about YNR and Maria Arena Bell and those people that run that show, I don't believe that they believe they're systematically killing it. I believe that she really believes she's doing a good job, which is scary. But I don't believe I believe at ABC it was definitely systematic. I mean, it's no doubt in my mind. I mean, Brian Franz has basically said, I've been developing these shows in tandem with, you know, overseeing daytime for the last couple of years. So, yeah, I do believe there was a decided effort to tank those shows. But I don't believe that The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful are. I don't believe at all. Like, even as much as I am not a fan of what's going on at The Young and the Restless, I really believe it's just a person running the show with her head in a tunnel. I don't believe she believes she's killing the show, though.
So what? Like, what about Days of Our Lives? We spent a lot of time harping on this reboot, and then less than a year later, they're back to.
I think
Biz as usual before.
Yeah. I think the person, you know, I think instead of waiting for it to rebound, I think Days just got trigger happy and decided to just put their hand in the cookie jar when they weren't supposed to, because, you know, the writer has publicly said, look, we tried to do things on the show, but our hands were tied, so we couldn't do things. And that, you know, and it just makes me sit, okay, this is why this looks like this and this looks like that. It makes sense. I think the person running Days, he has the best intentions, but he doesn't have the patience. And it's kind of ironic considering he let Dina Higley run amok. I mean, she was good with, you know, the show was doing well, but then when it was doing bad, he wouldn't step in like he did with these cats and say, with the ones that he just booted out and say, okay, you have to go. Yeah. I just think that he has the best intentions, but he doesn't have the patience.
All right, so
these writers from the reboot, I feel like they should have been demoted. I think they told a lot of solid stories. I really, you know.
The show was so great.
The show was so great.
When I saw that they were gone, I thought, well, no, I don't watch that anymore.
But the thing of it is the ratings. It's sad to say, but the ratings for the Baby Switch and some of those other more schlocky stories that Days did while Dina was quote-unquote head writer. And see, that's the thing. While Dina Higley was supposedly head writer of the show, Chris Whitesell, who's the guy they're bringing back, basically he's the one who salvaged he's the one who did everything that managed to spike ratings, is what I've heard. He did the Baby Switch. And Gary Tomlin is like, he's the one who started the whole save $1 million a year thing over at One Life to Live. He's very budget conscious, and he's both a writer and an executive, so he'll probably be able to he probably won't be trying to tell Alamania stories because he's going to know that they don't have the budget for that.
Yeah.
So these are two guys. This is really weird because this is the first time I said this on Twitter. I was like, wow, this is the first time in years that I'm not, like, happy a head writing team is gone, but I'm also okay with the ones that are coming back because I didn't think those two should have necessarily have been fired to begin with. I really wish in a perfect world Marlene and Daryl could stay, but Ken Corday is the problem here with this show. Yeah. Now, and I don't believe he is system. I don't believe, again, I don't think he thinks he's killing a show because it's his only meal ticket. But I think he's very ambivalent about that show. If you read his biography, he says more when he doesn't say it.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be a soap person. He wanted to be a Beatle or a Rolling Stone or something. He was all wanting to be a rock and roller. And his mother, who was a very demanding, you know, fascinating, in my opinion, like old school soap matriarch, like was like, you get in there and you learn this soap, you bastard. And, you know, so now he's been stuck with it. And I think it is a situation where he goes off and does whatever he does, golf, parties, whatever, and then he comes back and is like, oh, fuck, the ratings are down. I got to fire someone. I don't think with Bill Bell dying and Agnes Nixon, you know, being forced out of her shows pretty much, we've lost that generation of people who really loved and cared about these shows enough to keep them on.
I agree. Well, we're going to continue chatting about the current state of daytime, but I wanted to, on the other side of this song, talk about all the reasons why we should watch the four remaining daytime dramas, because there's a reason to watch each of these shows. There are good things going on in daytime. From 1978, that's KC and the Sunshine Band with Boogie Shoes. It's 30 past the hour. I'm Larry Flick, and this is your morning jolt on Sirius XM LQ 108. Keith Price is here, of course. And we're joined by Jillian Bowe here in our New York studio, Jamie Giddens in Atlanta, and Luke Kerr from Nebraska. They collectively are the titans of DaytimeConfidential.com and PopConfidential.com, powered by Zaptuit. Great websites, great podcasts, and we're just getting deep and dirty with the daytime world right now. This hour, we'll be talking about pop culture a little bit later on. So now, we haven't heard much from Luke, and I'm missing the sound of his dulcet tones. And so I want Luke to jump in first and tell us what he's loving about his favorite shows right now. We can sit here and give ourselves stomach acid about how the industry is fucked up. It's going to be fucked up tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the day after that. Let's talk about what's good in daytime. So, Luke, you get to go first. What are you loving about your shows?
Well, first of all, the Robin reveal on General Hospital was amazing.
Really?
And I know that some of our readers and listeners have not been impressed with it, but I have enjoyed the One Life to Live characters that have came over to General Hospital. I don't think they've eaten the show, so I'm thoroughly enjoying that. I'm enjoying seeing a more well-rounded screen time amongst some of the cast members on General Hospital, so I'm really loving that. Days of Our Lives, for me, is all about Sammy, Lucas, Will, and Marlena. For me, those four are basically the highlight of my Days of Our Lives hour. On Bold and the Beautiful, surprisingly, after many years of not caring for the character, Steffi is the thing that I'm watching for, because Liam and Hope have basically become almost unbearable to watch, but Steffi all of a sudden is the one that I'm enjoying. And on YNR, I have to say, that takes a little bit more thinking. I know my co-hosts do not particularly like or appreciate Gloria Fisher Abbott, whatever her last name is now, but I have to admit, even as stupid as that double wedding was last week, I just like seeing more of Gloria, but I know that my co-hosts will not co-sign that, so.
Hell no.
Well, you know, I agree with almost everything you're saying, and I have some. I want to share what Jillian and Jamie have to say before I inject mine. What do you think, Jillian? What are you loving about your shows?
What am I loving? I loved the fact that over at GH, they're using the cast more. I like the Landview people coming there. They're not, you know, I don't see where everybody's like, they're eating the show. I'm like, really? Give me a break. There's still it's still the mob element there. I like the fact that someone on screen is coming after Sonny with both guns blazing, that has a serious history, that has studied up on him, that has boned up on him, that can shut that down. I like that. I love the Robin reveal, and even though I had I pretty much had a feeling what was going to happen, I love that. So fans who are all, they killed Robin, she can come back, get a grip. I like that. I kind of do like the Connie Kate aspect. I don't like her, you know, trying to go after Sonny. I do like that Connie Kate aspect a little bit, because she's, you know, you need tough women over there. You know, that's one gripe of GH. They always have the women. It's supposed to be a women genre, and the men are king over there, and the women are just door stops. I like Connie not taking anybody's guff. She said, Connie, she's like, Kate got shot two times. It ain't gonna be a third on my watch. Mm. I like over at B&B, I actually like them going back to the business of it with them, you know, with the designs and stuff. I mean, that's what the show is centered about. I'm tired of hearing about Hope and not getting her cat scratched, so to speak. That's not really interesting me. Days, I love the fact that Will came out to Marlena and she's helping him. I love the con. You know, it's a beautiful storyline that's being told. It's timely. It's not, you know, everybody thought it would just be all about sex, sex, sex. It's not. I like, you know, Sammy being a hot mess. I actually liked a little bit of the corporate storyline that they had over there. I just didn't get why, you know, they were fighting over you know, some podunk spa over at Y&R.
Mm.
Can I phone a friend? I mean, I need to think. Well, you know what? I actually, you know, I mean.
I can't watch it.
I'm really thinking. I kind of do like Victoria going up against Victor. She's getting sick and tired of Victor poking her nose in it. I mean, it is tiring, but I like that aspect because, you know, with this actress, you don't really see much of her getting opportunity to go head to head against Eric Braeden. The other actress that, you know, was in the role did, but we're going to get an opportunity to see her, you know, finally show, bust her chops off because she, you know, that she had on Loving and so forth. I like that aspect, but you know, I just, nothing else, you
nothing
know.
Else is pulling it. Jamie, you know, what are you digging these days?
Well, for me, the best story in daytime is Will's struggle with his sexuality on Days of Our Lives, which is the reason why I'm a little bummed about, and why, like I said earlier, that I wish Daryl and Marlene could just be demoted and still be a part of the writing staff.
Me
and not
too.
Be
me too.
Arbitrarily fired, because anyone who came up, that's the most realistic storyline Days has done, God, in 30 years, and most heartfelt, and it's, you know, it's the best story, in my opinion, on daytime. And so I'm loving that. Some of the other stories, I guess, you know, they put all of, you know, their juice into that story, and then some of the other stories are a little wonky. But, you know, anything that springs from that, you know, Sammy and her myriad of husbands and the drama that entails from that, I mean, I'm enjoying that aspect of Days. Let's see, keeping it positive. B&B, I appreciate what they're trying to do. They're really taking this back to 25 years ago when it was Thorne and Brooke scheming to break up Ridge and Caroline. So they've, you know, they brought on a new Caroline. You know, they flip-flopped Brooke and Taylor's roles by giving Taylor a slutty daughter and Brooke a virginal mess daughter. And, you know, Liam's the new Ridge, you know, clueless and horny. Or is he clueless? Because he basically gets to fuck both girls every 6 months. you know, maybe he's the, you know, he
he's
plays clueless,
he's,
but
he's the
smartest guy in daytime. It's like, if they'll allow it, what straight man wouldn't want to just go back and forth, you know? And then you have Amber, who, you know, I love Adrienne Frost. She's been playing a teenager for 20 years. So there you have it. You know, she's still doing these teen schemes, you know, well into her 40s. But, you know, so I appreciate B&B for what it is. You know, a lot of people will get mad at me. You don't know it's hard on B&B. I'm like, well, I mean, B&B has always kind of been that Eric Spelling show in daytime. You know, it's kind of fluff. I mean, it's 30 minutes, and I appreciate it just for that. I don't have to spend an hour. If it's of my life, if it's bad, I can just go, okay, it's done in 20 minutes. So, what's next? I'll go to Y&R, because I want to, since this is the positive.
Positive.
Part, I'm going to go Y&R first and then GH. So,
we're giving love.
About?
We're giving love right now. We've already had the negative bile. We want to laugh
Y&R,
and love.
Y&R, what I am loving about Y&R is that it is still on the air. Melvin,
wow.
Because I wanted to stay on the air. Nikki Newman, I have to give a mad shout out to Melody Thomas Scott, because anyone who knows, I've always been an Ashley fan, a Victor and Ashley fan. So I have thrown much shade at the former pole twister over the years, but I don't know when it happened, but she became my reason to watch. Melody Thomas Scott, through everything they've thrown at her, trying to knock her down financially, pushing her off the show just like she was nobody, so that they could bring on a bunch of airhead bubble bots. You know, now it's like when there's Nikki, Jack, Victor, you know, any of those cats, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. It's the Young and the Restless and not Diana DeGarmo singing the song.
Or the All
about
My Children, Shady Pines.
Booty scoot boogie, you know. Now to GH. GH, to me, has just done a revolutionary turnaround. I love how Frank Valentini has made everybody look better. I was reading in Soap Opera Digest where John J. York, they were asking him, like, why did you get a haircut? And he's like, Frank Valentini. he said, the first thing I heard was John J. York to hair and makeup. He said he's never heard that in 25 years on this show. That, like, he just always cut his own hair. Frank is like, uh-uh, boo-boo, it's a new day. You're going to get that hair cut.
I know, he looks really good, doesn't he?
Yes, he's aged really well.
He has aged spectacularly
well.
Damn
shame that they didn't use that guy. And he's a great actor, too.
Yeah. He's a really good actor, too. He's a really
People make fun of Frank for that, but he is aesthetically, and let's be real, we do watch soaps because we want to see beautiful people misbehaving, and he has made people, it looks like people are toning up and going to the gym and getting haircuts.
Yep,
you know,
I agree.
The lighting is better. I love the fact that they finally cut away from those, you know, lengthy scenes, and they're juxtaposed. And I like, because, you know, that's a One Life thing. You know, if Jason is telling Spinelli, Kate's going crazy, then you're cutting to Kate telling Sonny, Jason was in here and he was about to beat me down like Urkel the entire life. You know, so I love how they do that, because to me that always ramps up the tension. I'm loving most of the stories. Love Finola Hughes teaming up with John McVane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think the GH is greatly improved. And no, I don't love everything about it. I'm not really digging Connie Kate's insta-crazy. But the actress is good at it. And even though we never really saw any signs that she was struggling before, you know, I can buy that. Because like Jillian said, I guess getting shot twice might make a demon come out in me.
It might make you a little crazy. I like this girl. I didn't like her before.
Me either, but
I like this girl.
They've given her some material to work with, and she's doing it well. She plays crazy well.
There was a point, I think, yesterday or the day before, where she was talking as Connie into the mirror, and I thought, I love this girl.
Was she right?
Where she's fluffing the hair?
Yes.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I've been a GH girl for, really, before Luca was on the show, when Scotty was with Laura. Okay. Everybody could talk about how I'm like the naysayer, but baby, I'm the ride or die bitch with these shows.
You've been
I've been there since before Leslie Charleston was wearing a wig every day. Okay. When her hair was natural, and she was doing Pepsodent commercials. Don't try it on me.
But the reason why I like
before
the...
she started drinking.
Wow.
Because she was going bald. Okay.
I got to go. Bye, y'all.
So and I couldn't watch General Hospital for the last year, and I'm glued now. And I have to say a mea culpa, because I was one of the people who did not want One Life to Live characters on my show.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, you know what? Come and save my show. That show's already canceled.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I get you.
A lot of grief from the One Life fans because I felt that way, and I don't give a shit. You know, I am a free-thinking gay man. Suck my dick.
I feel you with
that. I think they've done a good job at balancing it, though.
Yeah, but let me finish. Yeah. I'm not, you know, I'm going to get tired of that little girl crying every day, you know, with her big old bobblehead. I'm not feeling her.
I thought that was too much.
Here's the thing. I didn't want that character. If you're going to bring me some One Life to Live, I like McBane. Mm-hmm. I want me some Cassie DePaiva.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Cassie DePaiva. I love me some Roger Howarth. You know, I want Roger Howarth to be fucking the shit out of Carly ASAP. You know, and I would like to see, and everyone's going to be like, who? I would love to see Erica Slezak on this show, because I think that she could come and she could serve. I'd love to see
her. She already appeared on the show on the cover of a book.
No, seriously. But I don't want to, you know, I know obviously there's going to be a Star Michael story. Poo.
I just thought,
I'm not into it.
On paper, that should be excellent, but on screen, it's
boring.
Not.
You know what? They have no chemistry.
I'm not going to lie with you with that. When, you know, I thought when Robin died and then have Star family, her Cole and that baby die, I thought, okay, y'all, you know, this is too much. GH, I won't say GH just got over Jake being ran over.
No,
but you know, they just got past it. And for you to do that again, damn.
And the reveal of Robin being alive is classic Ice Princess era General Hospital.
You better work. It was,
for those of y'all old enough to remember, Kathy,
Ice Princess, I've heard, yeah.
That's classic Ice Princess General Hospital. I know people are like, why are we grieving for her? She, it's not about whether she's really dead. It's about the story,
and
about the journey.
For her to fight for her way back
remember
to her family.
When Luke, remember Luke grieving for Laura, and then all of a sudden Laura came out of the fog.
Was she when she was wandering around the mayor's mansion.
As she was peeking over the brick walls. Hello?
You know, unless she looked at it.
That damn Helena Cassadine.
I got a fix for you for Star. And it's out there, and, you know, I told this to a friend in the industry, and he just freaked out because he thought it was so gross. But I'm like, hell, Tony Geary was 15 years older than Jenny Francis. I wouldn't do Star in Michael either, because the guy that plays Michael, bless his heart, he's a good little young actor, but he's been constipated on that show for a year.
He's got lucky-itis. It's like,
and then you got Star, who does just kind of tend to scream and rage at the gods. I think that they should put Star with Patrick. Lost his wife. She's lost her man.
That's not bad. But you know what I would like?
Grieve together and then fall in love, and then as soon as they're about to get to that altar, that's when Robin.
See, here's what I want for Star. I want Star to relive Karen's past with Sonny and become a stripper.
Look at you.
That would be good.
Wouldn't that be good? Her grief sends her to booze, sends her to that shitty bar, sends her to Sonny.
The pink flamingo or whatever.
Sends her to Sonny, who's been ostracized by the town. He decides,
Brandon runs the hoes now. I mean, not Brandon. What's the name of the other show? Johnny runs the strippers now.
I would love to see Star turn into what was it? Karen.
Yes, it was Karen.
I would love to see her become the stripper. I think that'd be hot. I'm loving GH. I'm loving it. I'm so excited that Sam may hook up with McBain.
Chemistry was fire.
I'm a PC girl from back when they were.
Oh, that's right.
So when they were like, haven't I seen you before? I'm like, yes!
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Before I thought that was good. And then the stake through the heart.
Because
thing.
I hated him on One Life to Live. Mm-hmm. Loved him on Port Charles. Uh-huh. Love him on GH.
Because I think.
And how good does he look in HD?
Yes.
He does look good. Like, he does look good. But now I got to say, I got to be the different one on with all of y'all. I'm enjoying Bold and the Beautiful, and I'm enjoying Liam and Hope. Sorry, I'm enjoying it. You know, I love me what I'm seeing. I thought the 25th anniversary special was really cute, tight. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they do an A story and they follow it through. I'd rather them tell one story well than tell five stories poorly. Mm-hmm. So I like Hope.
I like the character.
I like the actress.
I like the character. My problem with it, though, is Liam basically flips a coin every 3 to 4 months.
I know,
Soap Man. But I just don't think everybody being invested in her virginity. I think it's gross that Bill is like, you're not poking that son.
Yeah, but here's the thing. But that's classic B&B. That's classic Bold and the Beautiful. Everybody's up. Every girl snatching that on that show. And every guy is sticking it in multiple pussies.
That's classic
Bold and the Beautiful.
I like the triangle itself. I do. I've said that. What I don't like is you got to give Brooke and Ridge and Taylor something more than to cut away and go, do you think Hope is being penetrated at this very moment?
Well, yes, of course. But I like the story.
That's the only thing
I've dropped Y&R, Young and the Restless. I've dropped it. I can't
Ooh,
do it.
Oh, shut your mouth,
dropped
really?
It. Can't do it.
Oh, Larry, and that's what I have to tell people, because I know
I can't
I
do
can
it.
Seem like a hypocrite on Twitter when I'm like, don't watch if you're that angry about it. They're like, well, why do you watch? I'm like, I make money off of this. That's why I watch.
Yeah,
but
I can't watch it.
I would not be watching Y&R right
I can't
now.
Watch
if it wasn't
it.
For Daytime Confidential, I would not be watching
and as much as I like Days, I'm the only thing that makes me optimistic about the new writers is that maybe one of them will figure out that Marlena's vagina is not dry. And what Marlena needs is a juicy, hot love story, because to quote Jamie Giddens, the numbers on days are always hottest when something crazy is
Stefano
happening to Marlena.
Needs to kidnap her again. He needs
Marlena needs to be in a birdcage somewhere. Come on.
I want Marlena. You know what I really would love for Marlena? Ooh. I would love for Marlena to have the Kate thing on G&H.
What? Mm. What you mean?
I would like for Marlena to become like a madam or something. I want her to go crazy.
When you said Kate, I'm like, you want her to have a peacock feather in her
hair? No, I want her to have a crazy secret life.
Deirdre does those stories so well.
I want
for all of a sudden, actually she's like talking to Will, and all of a sudden the phone rings. And she's like, I can't talk to you now. And she puts the phone away. And she starts getting those calls for like a month. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you realize it's Billy Clyde Tuggle.
Oh, Larry Flick.
You know, the thing about Dave's that I would say, to me, if the ratings are still down, I totally get the Marlena aspect. But one of the things that I always think about with Dave's is the fact that you have really popular couples. But at this point, there's very few couples that you actually want to root for on Dave's. Who wants to see Carrie or Rafe or even Nicole and Rafe? I mean, you add Daniel in there with any of those combinations, and it's boring as hell. Half the teen couples don't work. No one wants to see John and Hope again in this Alamania crap. There's not enough good couples on the show to make a person interested.
Their teen story, which that hooked me on Days. Days was the soap that made me watch because of Bo and Hope's young love and Pete and Melissa and Jack and Jen. Their young adult shit is awful. I have never seen. Days has always been the young soap. You know, Gabby is no Eve Donovan.
No.
It's like, get this bitch.
I liked Abby going
TV.
After Austin, though. I did too.
I did too. But you know what I want? I want the clash of the divas. I think you have Deirdre Hall and Lisa Rinna. Pit them against each other.
Mm.
I want to see them.
I wonder who would win that battle.
There you go. You posed a question.
That's really
that
interesting.
That means there's a story.
Well, Lisa's going to have to take Acting for Dummies before I want her in a thing with
But that's the thing. It'll force, because Lisa Rinna is a good little actor. She just hasn't done it in a while.
She used to be.
But she is ready to be forced into upping her game. And who can make her upper game faster than Deirdre Hall? Put those two chicks together. Put them in a triangle.
And make them fight.
I'm in. I'm in.
Barring the My Little Pony streak, I would almost prefer that to see with Kate, in part because of Kate's history with Sammy, but also because of the fact that that scene where Kate and Marlena were facing off over Will and how well they knew their grandson. I think Kate and Marlena could do interesting stuff too.
There's so much history there. I mean, Marlena was her shrink when she was fucking around on Curtis Brown with Bill Horton.
Here's the other thing. I'm going to have to take a pause. Lisa Rinna pitted against Deirdre Hall is a media free-for-all.
It's a bigger star.
It's a
true.
Media free-for-all. Suddenly, because let's be real. People on People.com and EW.com, they still care about Lisa Rinna, whether we care about her or not. And you know what? They still care about Deirdre Hall. Mm-hmm. You pit those two chicks together, make them bitch-tastic. That is, you know, you turn that into Crystal versus Alexis in daytime, and you've got a media bonanza. And then just have Sammy start killing people. I want Sammy to become a mass murderer.
Really?
No. Can't co-sign that.
I want her to either become a mass murderer or just really, I want her to just start riding EJ every chance she gets.
I don't know why they won't give us EJ and Sammy. I don't know what.
Because they're fire. They're fire.
Yeah,
maybe
they
should just mass.
I mean, they look like.
All
I mean, they
kids.
Look like they. The actors look like they want to fuck. That's what I want to see.
They're not going to give us EJ and Will. At least give us EJ and Sammy. I need him penetrating some blonde bush. I bet.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Seriously. I mean, I want. I,
Jesus
I,
Christ.
I, it's
really?
Time to start blow. It's if these shows are going to live, these shows they have to.
Hey, we're not out, Q. We're not on DC.
I'm still.
I say we need to start. I think we need to start just blowing these bitches up. Otherwise, these shows are going to die. Blow this shit up. Blow this shit up. It's time.
They need to go balls to the wall. You talking some sense now.
Now is not the time to be doing the same old.
Blow it up. I want to see.
That's what Gloria Monty did. Larry, you watched, you know. When
yes,
she
I know.
And that's what I keep telling people when they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe they're going away from the history. Gloria Monty didn't come in and go, let's bring on some more Hardys and Webber.
You know what they did? They made Laura Laura a killer. They made Luca.
Laura fast, hot in the ass for her mama's husband or boyfriend or whatever.
That's
right.
I want to see.
They don't know.
I'll tell you.
People quoting the whole Douglas Marlin. I'm like, well, there was a bitch called Gloria Monty who said, fuck all that. And
well, you know what? Because you want to talk about a really good rape story?
What?
When Sonny drops his pills, he goes crazy and he holds a gun to Jason
and
says, fuck it! 6 past the hour, it's your morning jolt here on Sirius XM LQ108. Now, I'm jumping in the middle of the song because I'm playing a little Rufus Chaka Khan in hopes of getting Jamie Gins to sing for us. Are you not a Chaka Khan?
I love Rufus and Chaka Khan, but I didn't know that song.
Oh, you didn't know that song? Hang on a second. What song would you like, baby?
Tell me something good.
Okay, hold on.
Listen to this.
What?
I gotta listen to this.
Yes, you do.
Hit it.
Because you ain't sung on a podcast in a minute.
No, I haven't. I tell you.
You want to sing, but have it beat out you.
Don't you do it.
Okay, you're on, Jamie.
Lord Jesus. Come on.
I'm trying to think of the words. Oh, my God.
All right, well, how about you wait till the chorus comes?
Yeah, we
all know the chorus.
Sing a key.
Because we ain't had no Jamie singing in a minute, though, right?
Because since Nippy been gone, he ain't been able to sing.
Oh, yeah. They took my voice.
With her cocaine.
See how you are.
Thank you, Nippy.
See how cold she is, right?
Why don't we get Jillian to sing?
I know I can.
Okay, here we come. All right, Jamie, hit it.
Tell me something good.
Something good.
Go on.
Tell me that you like me. Yeah. Tell me something good.
Oh, God. That's it?
That you like me. Yeah.
He's just warming up. We're going to get him to sing a little bit later on. But we have Jillian Bo, Jamie Gins, and Luke Kerr. You know, my ultimate goal is to get Luke to do a little Chaka Khan on the show someday.
Never going to happen.
No. Luke is like, it's never going to happen.
Mary Joseph and all the homeboys, if you make that happen,
no,
I
actually, what I think I'm
going
to do is
man.
One day we're going to get Luke to do his Adele impersonation for us.
Ooh. I wish I would have taped him doing it.
Tell him.
Larry, when Whitney died, Luke called me up because I guess Luke wanted to let me know he was more than Whitney, too. And he said, I'll have you know that I liked Whitney.
Tell it.
The Bodyguard soundtrack. And then he just burst it out. I've got the stuff that you want. I've got the thing that you need. I've got that can make you jump to your knees.
Come on, Luke. Give us that line, that chorus line. Because you're what?
No.
Because you're what, Luke? Because you're what?
No.
Come on, Luke. Because you're what?
We will
stay here for the next
out of that song.
Because come on, give me that line.
I said, I talked to Whitney on the Ouija board from the grave, and she said, "Don't you never do that again."
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
So Luke, Jamie, and Jillian are from they're the titans of two great websites you need to bookmark: DaytimeConfidential.com. We talked about Daytime in our last hour.
If you can get Luke to sing, I swear to God, I will call you the man every time.
Well, I already
call
am
you
the man.
Queen, please,
it took me.
I will call
it took
you
me.
Queen Larry.
It took me less than an hour to get your mother to give you a middle name on the air first time you were on.
Well,
so
she
I'm
did
already,
that because she'll always
she
do
liked
that.
Me.
No, she'll do that with anybody.
Oh,
she,
thanks.
She sells me out. Well, she like you too.
Anyway,
but.
So go to popconfidential.com. They're both powered by Zap2.com.
Oh, my God.
Well, we it may not happen today, but Luke, it's on my list.
Oh my God, I'm so happy.
That's one of those things that is just gonna go unchecked off on your bucket list,
and
Larry.
Work.
We shall see.
And face.
Keith, would you tell the kids in the, visiting with us that what Mama wants, Mama gets, even if it takes years?
I want this to happen. I so want this to happen.
Well, I ain't nobody's angel. What can I say? I'm just that way.
Oh, my God. See, here's what I love about Jamie, Jillian, and Luke. We can go from, like, the hardcore serious debate that we had in our last hour about the industry of daytime to dishing about the soaps to just busting and having some fun. This is what they call friendship, and I'm so excited that all three of you are friends of ours here.
And I never thought I'd feel this way.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Now, see, you're warming. She's warming up.
I'm glad we got the chance to say.
He'll be singing I'm Every Woman before we're done.
Oh, Miss Dion. Oh.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let's go through some pop culture headlines, shall we? Well, since you mentioned Dion, who's watching Celebrity Apprentice? Is anyone watching?
I stopped. I mean, it's not.
No.
It's just finally getting good.
Really? The way that they made it all hyped up, I was really hoping to see Teresa versus Victoria Gotti out.
No, darling. It's not about Teresa. It's about Lisa Lampanelli, Aubrey O'Day, and Arsenio.
Lisa Lampanelli is funny as shit.
I'm
tired of Arsenio now. I'm going to have me a black man's conference with Arsenio and Urkel, and I'm going to say, damn it, y'all making all the white people scared of us again.
But here's the thing. Arsenio went off on Aubrey O'Day, and although I disagreed with him going off on her, I think he did so. I wasn't mad at him.
Why did he go off on her?
He went off on her because she's a narcissist. And it just kind of pushed all of it. You know what I really think?
Well, she studied under Diddy.
I think he wants a taste of her kuka, and she ain't getting none. He ain't getting none.
He could go to
I feel you on that, but it's like if you look at the clips, and this just annoys me anytime because they act like white men don't get mad. You know, they cut to this clip on TMZ of Teresa. I was afraid. I'm like, anytime a black man raises his voice, we got this.
Teresa who?
Oh my God.
The thing that made the Arsenio meltdown on Celebrity Apprentice last week noteworthy is the fact that it was Arsenio melting down.
Right.
Because he's very laid back.
Because he's so gentle, and he had been gentle for the entire season up to this point, and all of a sudden it was like snap.
Teresa
and it was
afraid.
Good TV.
Teresa saying she afraid. Maybe TMZ
Teresa has
edit
been.
That.
Teresa's been she's, a non-entity on the show.
She survived this long. And
she's
really
been a non-entity
anything.
On the show. She's going home soon, honey.
I just want some black man love in pop culture again. Where is Bernice Clifton? Black man. Black man.
Dude, but no, I mean, I think Arsenio's doing. I think he's doing really well on the show.
Someone
and I think
give him a talk show again, please.
He needs a talk show again.
Yes.
He does.
Which is probably why he's doing this now.
I think that's why he's putting up with all this nonsense. I think it's going to help him. Mm-hmm. And I think even though I disagreed with him about Aubrey, because I actually like Aubrey, I think that what he did, I don't think that he went over the line. I just thought, you need to calm down and just say you want to fuck her. just say you want a taste of her, as Jamie said, you just want a taste of her good.
Work.
Because she's hot.
Let me stop. I'm back
on that. Go ahead. Say it.
Look, I just flashed back to some Star Magazine 80s hit. Like, do he really want a giga?
Well, he had Paula's, right? He had Paula Abdul's.
He's part of that whole Johnny Gill friendship club.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Okay.
What
so,
about your friends? Anyway, ooh, go ahead.
So what in pop culture is like setting y'all on fire right now, Jillian?
Like what TV show?
And just in general, yeah, TV, gossip, music. What's like? We ain't got no Pop Confidential podcast
I'm
recently.
To think what television show? Well, you know, Revenge is my shit. I'm not.
But
like,
it's not on right now.
I am not liking that. I'm like ABC, get it together. I'm not really.
They're saving
liking
it for
that.
May sweeps. They're saving it for May sweeps.
Y'all be doing that, man.
They don't have enough shows. Also, they're trying to get these two tacky shows that neither are going to survive.
What? Which one?
Scandal and Missing. None of those shows are going to survive.
It did not feel scandalous last night.
Scandal
was like,
very EOE. You know what I'm saying?
It was
very like, see, look, we know how to cast a black woman. Uh-huh. It was a little EOE for
I've
me.
I've been saying this. She's a great actress.
She's a great actress,
I have no
but it was
problem
a terrible
with
show.
Her, but I think, I keep thinking, whenever I see the promos, I'm like, Sanaa Lathan would really be good in this.
Mm-hmm. Or Taraji B.
Bam,
Henson.
You sound like Jamie because he said mm-hmm. it yesterday.
Did
he
you
was
say
like,
that?
I said Taraji.
Taraji
yes,
P. Henson needed to be in that show.
Yeah. Yes.
Kerry Washington doesn't have the gravitas for that kind of a
nope.
show.
I feel it in my gut. I'm like, girl, last night
she's
episode,
one of
like,
those.
Pepto,
you know, she,
you
I'm
played.
Happy for a sister, but she's one of those sisters that white America has sanctioned as okay to look at in prime time.
Know, she's,
you
she's,
know,
she's like the Alicia Keys of actors.
Right? She talks like a white girl, and you know. But I like the show. Yeah. I like the show, the premise, but the stories were so dated. I'm like Monica and the gay Republican, I'm like, y'all could have come with something a little fresher than that
yeah.
for your pilot
yeah.
episode.
I'm not feeling that show. I really want to be feeling GCB, and I can't.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Are you?
I do absolutely. Love it. It is.
What are you loving about it? What are you loving about it, Luke?
It has become the first show I watch on Sunday nights when I get home on my DVR.
Really?
And when I'm watching it, I'm just literally screaming at my TV at some of the hijinks. And it is a blast to watch. And every next morning I'm asking Reagan, are you watching GCB yet? Are you watching GCB yet?
No, tell him not to.
I'm catch up on a marathon.
High five.
I wanna like it.
Luke and I love the same show.
You like it too.
But the other one that I would say if you should give
Annie
a chance
Potts
if you haven't watched the first three episodes already is Magic City on Starz.
Yes, I
watched that on In Demand and mm. I really liked it.
They have the first
Magic
three
good.
Available. If you don't have it, you can watch it on. They have it on their Facebook. I thought
yeah.
that was really odd that they have the first three episodes on Facebook.
Well, they've already committed to a second season.
Yeah,
of the show.
Boy, Starz.
It's a good
really,
show. It's a good show.
Really good.
Yeah, that's a really, really good show. There's not a lot of scripted stuff I'm watching right now. I tried getting into Mad Men. You waited too long, honey.
Ooh. Yeah, I've
you
been
waited too
Mad
long.
Mad Men.
It's like you know, it's kind of like if I've been waiting. If we were supposed to have a date at 7, you show up at midnight. Mm-hmm. And that dick ain't 12 inches. You need to leave.
Where are we?
Do you watch Justified?
What was that?
Do you watch Justified?
I haven't watched it this season yet, but I like that show. I love Timothy Oliphant. Mm.
Justified hasn't been quite as good as it was last season, but it's been thoroughly enjoyable,
yeah.
and we're leading up to the season finale. So considering how good last year's season finale is, I can only hope
yeah.
that this one measures up.
I just haven't been hearing good things about this season, and I just haven't really had time for it, so I stayed away. You know what I've been liking? What were you going to say, Jamie?
No, I was going to say, you know what? I thought of something pop culturally I did want to talk about, and
what?
It's like it's something, you know, that I've gone from a fan of this person, which it kind of happened after the blow-up with her wedding, but now I just can't stand her, and that's Kim Kardashian.
Dating
and I was a card-carrying fan.
Yeah, you were.
You really were.
I was like, you know, I like seeing their little silly, you know, we're busy, we work, strike a pose, lifestyle. You know, I wasn't mad at Mama Chris for turning, you know, that girl's sex tape into an empire. But now that she is trying to act like Greta Garbo with all this, the media won't leave me alone.
No, she tries to act like Liz Taylor.
The media created you. It's like the media created you. That is all you are. You have no discernible talent. She was on the Today Show today talking about how she understood how Britney Spears went through her meltdown. Okay, Britney Spears is not that talented, but she's more talented than you. You got famous because you stuck your butt in the air and let Ray J plow you, and you made a fortune off of it. And now you're like, oh my God, the media,
and now
no Matt Lauer,
Kanye West.
And you have the audacity to sit up on Matt Lauer's couch. I would have told her to go home today. She was on the Today Show. She wouldn't. Well, you know, it wasn't Matt Lauer. It was Ann Curry, you know, TMZ says they're trying to get rid of her. She might be asking the Kardashians for a job in a minute. But it was like she wouldn't answer any of the questions. No, I really can't. This Kanye and I, that is all people care about you for, Kim. It's which brother is plowing you at that moment. Why are you coming on this talk show to not talk and do that whole, you're not Madonna. You're not some celebrity who gets to protect your private life.
I wish someone
would have
kicked
sold
off
your
that
private
couch,
life.
Man.
You know, it just annoys me. I'm like, Can we get rid of her?
I would love to get rid of her.
I like Chloe. Out of all of them, Chloe's the one I like.
Yeah, but you know what? I tried watching that Chloe and Lamar show for the first time, and I felt my soul dying as it was running.
I just like Chloe because
I felt my soul dying.
I like her because she says whatever's on her mind and she keeps it 100.
But you know what? She got cheap weave.
And then I used to like Chloe, Deb. I liked that show more in the last couple of years, but it made no sense with the move. Why, you know, it's now we're seeing that this is, I mean, we know it's manufactured, but there's no reason for Rob and the little black best friend to have to move to Dallas with them except to ramp up the drama. It's like now it's just so manufactured. It's like, let it go. You had, what, 5 good years out of it? You know you'll never have to work again. Leave it alone.
You know, it's so sad. Her little black friend, as you say, you know, she's an actress, and now she's only. You're right. No, that's what I'm saying. And now people just know her as the Kardashian friend. I'm like, damn.
Her sister were in ATL with my girl, with Tasha.
Yes.
I can't.
Again, going back to the premise of what is it that the Kardashians are truly contributing to the world of anything? And why are we, you know,
the
giving them all
industry.
Of this anyway? And
see,
it's like,
I don't really need a deep con, you know, because I watch my trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm watching Million Dollar Listing on Bravo. So clearly I enjoy a little trash.
Oh.
But we do love that Swedish former gay porn star.
Right.
Come on now. But I don't find them. I have to want to either have a kiki with you or a cup of coffee with you or a chat with you. And I just, you know what, those Kardashians, we've had them on the show.
Nice
girls.
They've
been up here. You know, but, they're good for a good hot five, and then suddenly you're going,
Then your soul is dying again.
I think they've hit that Paris Hilton type level. And when I say that, I mean where the media is just like, go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I'm just done.
They're just, oversaturated the
market. My new reality queen is Miss Robbie from Welcome to Sweetie Pies.
Oh,
that is who I love.
Look at their face. Well, you can't see their face.
We love Oprah, but honey, I can't look at that show.
I don't like any. Well, I like, you know, I'm watching that and I'm watching Beverly's Full House, but.
Oh,
I love me some Miss Robin.
Oh,
Beverly's Full House, to me, I think that show is not, like, to me, that's the definite, I think that show is not, like, scripted at all because of the tensions between her and that daughter.
I haven't watched it. I just don't know if I can.
You need to, child.
When is it on?
Really?
It can't. What? When it comes on?
Saturday night.
Yes.
Oh,
Saturday
really?
Night.
All right, maybe
okay,
I'll
let me
tape
just
it.
Give you a
maybe
sample. You know, Beverly called her granddaughter ugly. After she had that girl had her baby. Yes, she did.
Maybe I'll check it out. Maybe, but, well, at least it ain't Prison Wives. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I can't.
You know.
Those two shows right now, they seem very fresh in their, you know, their reality.
Right.
And it's about something. One thing I like about Sweetie Pies, I'm starting to be like how you are with Million Dollar Listening. I need the reality show to be about a business and the family trying to,
right.
You know, I'm over these just vapid nothings. I mean, it's like, at least be pretended to run a business.
Do something.
Hell, I watched Duck Dynasty before I watched the Kardashians again.
I can't do the Kardashians. Luke, what are you watching? There ain't no sci-fi on for you to watch right now. What are you watching?
Well, my DVR, I have to admit, is a little bit empty. I found myself watching an episode of Psych, which I have on my DVR to record, but usually is preempted by other stuff, and it was like, there's nothing on. I'm going through major withdrawals. The Vampire Diaries and Secret Circle are in reruns, and, I mean, basically, it's Sunday nights. I love the Walking Dead season finale. That was fantastic. But
HBO is coming back.
Yes, there you go.
What's coming back?
The Showtime lineup is always fantastic. Weeds, cannot wait for Weeds. But right now, it's just that lull.
Yeah, you know what's good on USA right now?
Fairly Legal. I watched
Fairly
that show.
Well, how has that been? I've not watched it yet this season,
it's,
and they
it's good.
Did
it's,
that huge
it's a
overhaul
show.
On it. And
I didn't think
there was a problem
guy.
With it the first season.
I think they should get rid of the new lawyer. I think he's just not needed.
I liked, we had the girl up here, and she
Sarah.
Oh my God, love her, love her.
She's
love
married
her, love
to
her.
Our boy from Shameless. She's married to the dude who plays Kev on Shameless.
So funny, and she looks.
Wasn't she in the L Word?
Yeah, she was in the L Word, and I'll tell you something, Jamie, she looks just like our Vanessa Marcel in person.
Oh, does she?
She is Keith, isn't she? Sarah,
but she don't walk in her phone. She didn't walk in her line.
Yeah. Sarah Shahi or Sami. Yeah.
She looks. Like she is giving you
cute.
She's giving you younger Vanessa Marcil in person. And she's
nice.
Funny, and I like that show.
I like the show, too.
I like that
Larry,
show.
I got to get y'all's take on this, because I've been debating this. I debated this with one of my black friends last night, and we ended up just busting out laughing.
Right.
What did y'all make of the Mary J. Blige chicken scandal?
Oh, look. You know, look who's on line three.
Sad.
Look who's on line
Sad.
Three.
Who's on line three?
Mike in North Carolina.
We'll get to Mike in a second. you know what? I understand. See, I don't think.
Fresh chicken.
See, I don't find it a problem on a black level because I think
the dollar, honey.
No. Here's the thing. I think that the queen of hip hop soul, future queen of soul, should not be singing about any kind of food.
Yes, thank
I
you.
Think, right. I see. I said because we got into a discussion about this up in the talent relations office yesterday. I said it's not that it's a black girl singing about fried chicken. It's you're Mary J. Blige.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, come on, girl. Have a little dignity.
Do that shit overseas. It's like, we know, you know the celebs go overseas
but you know,
and make a bunch of crappy commercials, but don't do that in the U.S.
Because you know what level that is? You know what the level is of singing that song is? That's Sherry Shepherd level.
Larry Flick.
That's Sherry Shepherd singing, fried chicken.
Yeah.
Then that shit would be funny.
You know what?
Wow.
I'm going to be honest here. When I heard she did a commercial, the way how people kept saying she did a commercial, I never heard that what it was about. I was like, what the fuck is Mary J. Blige doing?
Because the last big one she did was like the Cadillac Escalade kind of thing.
I could see her. Well, she did the camera thing.
I
could see her doing a product.
Right.
But honey, don't be singing about no chicken.
Right.
And how much you love it.
I didn't know.
You're Mary J. Blige. That'd be like Adele singing for Crystal Light. What are you doing, bitch?
Like, I did not know it was about, you know, I was like, why is she doing a Burger King commercial?
She can't even do a high-end fast food. She got to be doing
ghetto Burger King.
And the lyrics. What? Oh, my God, the lyrics are so dumb. It's like,
and then when I saw it,
why not do a regional Kennedy's fried chicken commercial?
You know, I'm not outraged that it's the chicken part, because I'm like, whatever. I just am outraged that Mary J., you're doing a Burger King commercial.
So Jamie, you haven't told us what you think, though.
No, well, you know, this is what me and my boy were talking about this. And I said, you know, I don't know why we get mad when we know. I'm like, it's so funny because, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is we don't want people to think that's all we eat. Yeah, I eat salmon and I eat Thai. But I ain't gonna lie, I eat the hell out of some fried chicken. So I was laughing at the outrage.
Yeah.
And because it's a Southern thing. It's not, you know, just a... But it was so tacky, the way that the commercial was done. And, you know, it led into this discussion of how, if you watch a McDonald's commercial on the CW, it's all, dude, I can't wait to get this Big Mac. It's so awesome. But then you go to BET. Girl, honey, child, I'm my sister, friend. I got to get up there to McDonald's and get me some chicken McNuggets, girl, because I'm a proud black woman, honey.
Yes.
So he's like, why don't you just add the watermelon shake to that too?
You know?
I'm not an African American, but I don't get the outrage from African Americans about the chicken race thing. I'm just like, come on, you are a credible, real artist. Just like Dancing with the Stars. I keep saying this and no one agrees with me. Gavin DeGraw actually had a music career before he went on that show. Now, he ain't got no music career.
Oh, yeah, why would you go on there?
No cred now. He's gonna be singing to grannies and 500-pound fag hags, and that's it.
To me, when you're trying to reboot your career,
you never let your agent book you on that show. You never let your agent book you on Dancing with the D-Listers unless you
are trying to reboot your career.
His
career was fine.
It's over now.
It is done. Okay, we got to let Mike in North Carolina in on this one. Mike, go ahead, Mike.
First of all, I got to say, I love it when all of y'all come together. It's like a bunch of witches like stirring a cauldron. I love it. Second, and when you brought up Mary J. Blige and Burger King, I agree with Larry. At her level of success, she shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But I think that little girl from Yonkers who was singing Anita Baker songs back in the mall, she heard $2 million and she did it. Now she looks at it. It's so freaking embarrassing. You know, it's embarrassing for her. And we all went, no. And by the way, the watermelon shake is going to be at KFC.
I mean, you know, what's next? We're gonna see Mary. Wait. Are we gonna see Mary J. Blige chomping on a corner on a cob
and Kool-Aid?
Like, and going, this is some good corn.
And drinking great Kool-Aid.
God.
I saw it all the way through the other night. I'm like, oh my God, she did. And then she want to say, oh, I didn't see the fight. This is not what I intended to do. I'm like, whatever.
That's how I feel, like, you know, Mary.
If she does
she's a commercial out
for Molasses Pickles, I'm going to be through with Mary.
Honey, now that's going to be Phaedra Park.
Oh, snap.
I know she's mad at Ken Do, whoever else in her business team right now, because she looks like, you know,
just messy.
I don't, you know what, Mary? I cannot co-sign you when you're like, I didn't know. You know, when you're Mary J.
She wrote the lyric!
And
the
not
star,
only that,
the
you
magnitude,
are Mary J.
You know.
Blige. You're not going to sign your John Hancock to any and everything, so that's bull.
She wrote the jingle!
Yes!
She wrote
fried chicken! She better
chicken.
Blame that on KC.
Fried chicken!
Go back to the old school. Be like,
they put these lyrics in front of me. I didn't know what
you know
was.
You know all that was missing from that commercial? The special sauce out the corner of her mouth.
And just say,
that was good.
Let me ask y'all a question. She did it for $2 million. For her, that's not a lot of money.
That's chump change, kind of, isn't it? In the world.
I don't know.
Because I hear Mary J. likes to spend.
Yeah.
I bet that is some money. It ain't like, you know, she ain't had too many not gone cries lately.
No, it's been a minute. Talking to, we got Jillian Bo, Jamie Ginns, and Luke Kerr on the line from DaytimeConfidential.com, PopConfidential.com. Great websites. And this is what it's like when you listen to their podcast. It's nothing but fun. Nothing but fun. Oh, my gosh. So where are we going? I just don't even know where to go. Okay. So who else wants to take a look at Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick's kids?
Stop.
See if one of them's dragging a foot behind them or something.
Because
you know they're cousins.
What?
Oh, she's pregnant?
No, they're cousins. Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick appeared on last Sunday's edition of the PBS show Finding Your Roots, and they found out that they are distant cousins. We need to find those kids, count their fingers, count their toes, and see who's dragging their foot behind them.
I can't with you.
That is more than 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not going to say their names because I don't want them to sue me, but I had a classmate who married her first cousin.
Oh, no.
And and they had the same last name, and so she became, I just make up a fake name, Susie Martin. Yes, she did. And she became the president of our PTA. See, I'm used to that.
Oh, my God.
Luke, come on now. You're just too quiet up in Nebraska.
I'm from the South.
Come on, Luke.
My only comment on this would be, I mean, hey, the royals in Europe were doing it for generations. I mean, if they're distant cousins, we've seen a lot more people with closer relations getting married in Europe.
I know. I just want to see how close set their eyes are. You know, I want to get
a mad too, Luke. They were going blind over there with the fever and stuff in England too.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you about how my grandmother was. It was this community. Like, because, you know, we stayed out in the country. And my grandfather, he came from this really old country bumpkin community. And she was like, don't y'all go up there and try to date nobody from up around English. It was called English Texas. Because they're your cousins. Don't be up there looking at them and grinning. Don't be quiet up there.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so, all right, so let's move on to movies. All right, so other than Luke, who is loving the Hunger Games? Because I already know that Luke must be loving it.
I haven't seen the Hunger Games.
Luke, you could give Rhapsodize. Tell us how much you love the Hunger Games.
I did actually enjoy it a lot.
I know you. I know my Luke Kerr.
The thing is, I tried reading the books, didn't get hooked on the books. I know Reagan has been reading them and loving them. But I enjoyed the movie for what it was. It was a good adventure slash slasher film. I mean, basically these people are going to try and kill each other to stay alive, and may the best man win or woman win. I enjoyed it, but what I'm looking forward to is the American reunion this weekend, because I love the American Pie movies, and I cannot wait to see the entire cast reunited.
See, Jamie, you missed me doing my bow and arrow thing for Luke.
Because Luke be having his own Hunger Games in his house, I bet you.
So, Jamie, are you on the Hunger Games trail?
Nah, you know, I can't fool with them kids running around. I watched Twilight to try to stay relevant, Larry, but I think I turned 35 this summer, and I'm going to just let the kids have it. I don't want to see a bunch of dirty, grubby children running around in the bushes because they're hungry. If I wanted to do that, I would do a mission trip with my church back home and go somewhere. I don't want to do that.
I love it.
I want to go to the movies and see. This is the type of movies I go see. Something about some quirky journalist who's living a better life than me and has a better shoe collection than me that falls in love with Kellen Lutz, and then they have wacky romantic comedy sex. That tends to be what I watch.
Me too. But
meanwhile, I'm counting down to May, the first weekend of May, because the Avengers movie is coming out.
Oh my gosh, shoot me now.
I tell Luke this all the time. I liked that too before my dick started getting hard. And
Oh my god!
What?
You know, I watched all them Supermans and all that too when I was a kid. I can't be in a theater and suspend my mind like I used to, because I'm just like, okay.
Well, here's the thing. I want to make a point of mentioning something with you guys that Keith and I had the opportunity to talk about late in the day yesterday, and we replayed it this morning. Because we've talked, one of the things that we get into from time to time when we have Jamie Giddens, Jillian Bell, and Luke Kerr is the depiction of people of color in movies, and how we're tired of like the slave voice.
We get
and all
killed
that stuff.
Off first.
There's a movie that opens today, Marion Van Peebles' movie called We the Party.
Hmm.
This good. Movie is so good, and it's a mostly African American cast.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Mario's son Mandela, who was here yesterday. Holy shit, that kid's a superstar!
Yep,
just just magnitude. But
how old
is he? He's 17.
Oh, well, never mind.
And it's sort of like it conjures up, and this is here's how I'm
gonna one more year, girl, one more year.
Here's how I'm gonna get Jamie interested. It harkens back to the great days of John Hughes.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, so it's got like it combines it combines Breakfast Club with House Party.
Yeah. Oh,
well, you know,
nice.
Mario.
It's really good. It's really good. Snoop's kid is in it.
Mm-hmm.
It really tells the story of a bunch of black kids and how they really act. It's funny. It's sad. It'll make you cry. Make you.
You
laugh
know,
your
Mario
ass
studied
off.
At his dad's feet, so
and
he's cool.
It
peeps.
Is, and honestly, we want to tell everybody. If you're listening on the radio show, you listen on the podcast. When we give this to our DCPC people and they put it on the podcast. You want to support really powerful images of young people of color.
That's it.
We the Party. Okay.
We the Party. Mario Van Peebles. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to go see that. You sold me, and I know it's showing here in Atlanta because you know we chocolate. Sit
It's a little. It's a little bit. It's a little long. It's a little long. Mario hasn't learned how to cut the length of his movie.
Okay. I'm gonna. You know. I know. I trust your judgment. You ain't hoodwinking me for a Tyler Perry okie doke.
No.
Because I know your work.
Because it's got a little bit of grit. Right. Yeah. It's a little bit of grit. Because I can't, honey. I can't do Tyler.
And now that
too many moths in that closet. There are too many moths in that closet.
Now that he's getting his own network, Jesus H. Christ.
Honey.
Yeah. Let's talk about positive portrayals of black people. You know, Steve Harvey's movie comes out, that Think Like a Man.
That looks good.
That looks kind of,
that looks very festive. It looks, you know what it looks like?
It's like a boomerang or, you know.
It looks like a smarter version of Valentine's Day with black people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like a smarter version.
I'm excited for that.
I'm excited. Wendy Williams had most of the cast on her show yesterday. And I was really excited because I love the cast.
I
love
see
me some Kevin Hart. He's hilarious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't Taraji in that movie?
Everybody's in it.
I don't think
she is.
It seems like
no. It's what's that girl with the lopsided haircut? It's a cute haircut, but it's
Megan
lopsided.
Good.
Megan Good. Megan Good's in it. Yeah. It looks good.
Taraji's in it. Megan Good, Taraji.
Oh, Taraji's in it.
Yeah, Taraji is with a, I believe Taraji with a white dude in it. Mm. One of them is with a white dude.
Yeah.
Or that Gabrielle Union with the white dude. I'm like, oh, somebody going to get some pink pony.
But no, because we do, because it has been a thread of conversation when we have the DC PC people here to talk about the portrayal of African Americans in movies. I wanted to make sure we talked about actually both movies because Think Like a Man looks like it's going to be fun. That opens next week, though, right?
No, the 20th.
Oh, next week, okay.
Yeah, it opens the 20th. Opens the 20th.
Yeah, 20th.
But We the Party is today. We're going to continue with Jamie, Jillian, and Luke here on Your Morning Jolt. Don't go anywhere. Classic music by the band Queen. You're My Best Friend. It's 10 before the hour. I'm Larry Flick, and this is Your Morning Jolt on SiriusXM OutQ 108. Keith Price is here, and we've been spending time this morning with our good friends from Pop Confidential and DaytimeConfidential.com. Two amazing websites. They're both powered by ZapToIt.com. We want you to bookmark those websites. Visit them regularly. They are on top of the news in both the daytime television industry and in all of pop culture. And I look at it multiple times a day. You should definitely check it out. We have Jillian Bo here in our New York studio, Jamie Giddens on the phone from Atlanta, and Luke Kerr from Nebraska. We're not going to hear Luke sing today, but it's coming.
Larry, make it happen.
I will, honey. They don't call me Mariah on fire for nothing, okay?
Ooh, make it happen.
I have a request, Larry.
Yes?
The Divinals, I Touch Myself.
Yes! Well, maybe Darling Nikki.
See, I was thinking short man Nikki? Myself.
Oh, no.
How do you feel about those songs, Luke?
Don't know any of them.
Well, you better bone up on it, boo.
I know, because I sent Luke an email, and I'm like, this is one to put your cha-cha heels on. He goes, I don't wear cha-cha heels. And I'm like, okay, your wedgies, your slingbacks, your mules.
I don't wear slingbacks.
And my response to that was no, no, and no.
Which means she's barefoot.
Oh. Oh, my gosh.
Did we lose Jamie?
I'm here.
Are you just praying?
I'm just virtually up.
That would be awesome.
Hilarious. Y'all,
you know, I enjoy a long range plan. You know what I'm saying? So
you're like Madonna. I've had to work much harder than this.
Okay. Oh. So are we all loving a Madonna record, or do we not care?
I like it.
I like it. I like it.
What about you, Luke?
You know, I was listening to it yesterday, and I just, there were a couple of them that I liked, but at the same time, it was more like, okay, been there, done that, heard it before, you expect a little bit better.
All right.
But you like Lady Gaga. That's all she does.
I did not like her. I did not like her last CD.
Lady Gaga's just Madonna on Wheat Thins.
Reductive. Oh, she served good face when she did that.
See, Larry, you just need to tell me when the new Kylie CD comes out, because that would be what
soon.
I was looking for.
It's coming soon. Kylie's on her anti tour to celebrate 25 years in the music business. Yeah.
You should make him sing a Kylie song then.
I think he should sing I Should Be So Lucky. I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. Come on, Luke. I should be so lucky.
You should make him
Larry.
Love.
What?
Larry, what happened to Kathy Dennis? See, I'm finding somebody who could help me explain this. Where is she?
Where's Kathy Dennis?
Hold me, baby.
You know what Kathy's doing? Yeah. She's writing.
Where's she at? I miss her.
She's a very, very successful songwriter now.
Who's she writing for?
She writes for Kylie. She writes for This Saturday. She writes mostly for big British acts.
Mm.
Yeah, she's doing really well.
Well, I'm glad she's doing good, because you know, that was my girl for a minute.
Yeah, my girl too. My girl too. Hold me, baby. Touch me. Come on, Jimmy. All night long. Make me love you. Kiss and hug you. Touch me. Come on, Luke. all night long.
Not even cracking a smile with that. He's like, no.
Maybe he's waiting to sing the theme to Titanic because, you know, there's a 3D release, re-release of Titanic coming out.
Gross.
Who's going? Who's going?
Not me.
Not you?
Who'd you say?
Titanic.
3D Titanic.
Oh, I am. I love that movie. I don't know why y'all hate it.
Oh, my God.
I love Titanic.
I watched the first and the last time I watched it was when it first came out. It's a good love story, but that's 3 hours long.
That you will never get back.
You know what? Titanic is the movie version of Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby. Everybody loved it when it came out, and then afterwards, like, oh, God. We didn't like that.
I just know.
But wait. Come on, Luke. Near... far, wherever you
are. Oh, that's not my Celine Dion song. My Celine Dion song is It's All Coming Back to Me.
Make him sing that
song. Come on, sing it. Sing it.
Not happening.
Jamie, how would Luke do it? How would Luke do it, Jamie?
Come on, Jamie.
How would he do it?
I was lost in the wind and the rain. Back to me now.
Let's see if we can inspire Luke.
I cannot believe he sang Queen of the Night like that.
It used to be that I believed in something. It used to be that I believed in love. It's been a long time since I've had that feeling. I could love someone. I could touch someone.
Wait. Come on, Luke. Come on. Jump on. Wait.
Come on, Luke.
It's never going to happen.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Come on.
And when did that matter?
Oh.
There were days when the sun was so cruel.
Okay. So wait. Who could picture Luke doing sheet drag to this song? Wrapped up in a floral fitted sheet, wrapped around his head like a turban. Singing into a hairbrush.
You are so wrong, Larry.
And clutching his bosom while he does it, with his head up in the air.
Are you doing the toga sheet?
I can picture it. Ooh. I can picture it. Good too.
Mm-hmm. Wait, here.
When you touch me like this.
And his head comes up in the air like this.
I just have to.
Yes, I can see it.
With one lone tear coming down his cheek.
And he just holds his hand like this.
Looking up to the bathroom light as he sits on the toilet.
Yes, while the tear comes down. And he just closes his eyes and clenches his fist and grabs his chest as his all tight.
For moments of gold. There were things I'd never do again.
See,
but then
I'm fucking with Luke, and when I go log into blog, you see access denied. Luke be like, bitch, you ain't blogging on here no more.
Wait, come right here, right here, right here.
Baby, so that's what you're getting at, orgasm.
No!
Is it wet over there now, Luke?
Ew, I gotta go, man. Ooh.
Find your own wipe, Larry.
Oh!
Did he just serve you face?
He just gave me a little shade.
Ooh, he lifted it up and shut it down a little bit on you.
That was not bad. I enjoyed.
Ooh, wow, bravo.
Wait.
He told you to live your best life.
Oh, my God.
Damn, he not even playing peekaboo with you with that shade.
That
He's
was
just
good.
Like,
I enjoyed that. I like edgy Luke. When Luke goes onto one of his podcast tirades, my toes curl as I listen on the train. I enjoy.
I smell one coming on.
I think y'all should continue this on your next podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That was stupid.
I'll be tuning in to hear Jamie sing the rest of the song. I think you need to serenade Luke now. On the next podcast.
You know, mine was for Because You Loved Me, because that was Alan and Monica's song on their 20th anniversary. Oh,
I know, but this... But, you know, we're learning a lot about Luke by the fact that this is his Celine Dion song.
And then the preacher's wife...
Because this is...
And Queen of the Night was...
And the preacher's wife. And the preacher's wife. Don't forget the preacher's wife.
I mean, because that is some... This is some drama.
work.
This Don't
is,
forget the preacher's wife.
This
that
is like one of those Meatloaf songs.
And this
remember when Meatloaf did all those dramatic songs?
Yeah. I mean, this is, let's all picture Luke running down the hall through the billowing curtains.
I cannot.
Like a Stevie Nicks for a heart video.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden there's a tight shot of his eyes. And one arches.
No, I can't do it. I can see him doing it for real. Oh,
man. Oh, my God.
All right.
We need for Luke to come to New York.
We need for Luke to come
here
and act it out.
Yes.
All right, guys. We're about to be cut off, but Luke, Jamie, we love you, love you. Jillian, we love you, love you, love you. Go to daytimeconfidential.com, pubconfidential.com. Wait. Have a great weekend, everybody.